numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning to you. It is A Numbers Game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, Sirius XM Channel 158. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin, and I look like I'm falling off the screen. You notice that?
You're fading away, Gil.
I should move over a little bit. If I go, what is it, this way? I'm almost out there. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, what's happening, y'all?
It's a good way to mess with Savannah today, though, if you just want to move an inch to the left every segment.
Yeah, yeah.
Or an inch to the right.
Yeah. It's Friday. You know what that means. Felica and Fezzik, hour number two. Chris Felica, the Bear from Fox Sports. How many sports he'll have a bet on? There's no telling. Usually around three or four, sometimes five. We'll find out from Felica. Final four, of course, included in that. And Fezzik Fridays. Steve Fezzik with always a bunch on his mind. He's got things to complain about. He's got things to point out. Can't wait for that. Hour number two. Dr. Bob will join us as well. Oh, I have to text him a reminder that he has to come on. Let me do that right now.
Two weeks in a row.
Yeah. He said, send me a reminder or I'll walk my kids to school. That's how much he...
Would you like me to finish the coming up?
No. I'll do it right now. Hold on. Again. Reminder. I'm saying it right now on air. Reminder. Dr. Bob on the Final Four coming up here momentarily. Adam Burke, our managing editor at VSiN. All his thoughts, Final Four, baseball and beyond. And Dallin Cuff in moments from ESPN.
Yeah. Dallin Cuff on video this week, too. Because the past couple times we've had him, he's been in between, like... He'd be like, I'd love to join, but I'm going to be coming off a radio show, and then I got to get to a TV show, and then I got to go, like, probably play in some game.
The man is busy.
He's busy. He's a busy man.
Look at Sharp on ESPN. So he'll chime in on the Final Four and maybe some soccer as well. We'll get into that. And we have Are We Sure? Estamos Seguros coming up momentarily.
That's right.
The Friday edition of that. I just want to say this, though. Warriors beat the Lakers last night. Did you watch every second of it like I did?
Oh, I fell asleep early in the third quarter, Gil.
Well, you missed a few things. One, let me just say this. The Warriors beat the Lakers 123-116 in a game that the Lakers never got to one possession. Mm-hmm. They got as close as five. The Lakers were down six with the Rock in the last minute. And then Draymond Green stripped Luka on his way up for a shot. And this is why I bring this up, is for you, because you made the Lou Dort bets. Montesano made the Lou Dort bets. I was mad at myself for not making the Dort bets. Still may make it, but after last night, and Reggie Miller having a sexual experience watching us, it's like, okay, Rich, I got it. You think he should be the defensive player of the year. He's up to minus 345 now.
Whether you agree or disagree on whether he should be the defensive player of the year, the fact that one play and a reaction.
Well, it's not just the one play. It's because Draymond is also out there telling you, listen, this is my last shot at winning this. Give it to me.
I hear you, but he was doing that the past 2 days. Those odds remained the same until that game occurred last night. That happened, and now he's down to minus 340.
Minus 340. The aforementioned Dort is 7-1. Mobley in between, still at 4-1. Everybody else 50-1 or longer, including Shea, who's 150-1, which a case can be made for Shea too.
I think this is still way more up for grabs than those odds.
I would agree with you there. I'm just telling you that was Draymond center stage in a big game. And with that win, by the way, of course, the more important thing is that is a large win for the Golden State Warriors. Yeah. As the Warriors now, again, if the playoffs were to begin, it's still a Lakers-Warriors 4-5 with the Lakers having the home court because they are one game better in the loss column. But the Warriors are a 9-iron away from being the 3 seed as well. And they got the Nuggets tonight in a back-to-back. So that's a monster game tonight also. Nuggets 47-30 in the 3-hole, Lakers 46-30 in the 4-hole, Warriors 45-31 now in the 5-hole. By the way, the Grizzlies 45-32, as are the T-Wolves right behind that, and the Clippers 44-32. It's just a log jam.
It really is. But Gil, if you can get up to that 3 seed, any one of these teams that finishes in that 3 seed, and Houston, good on you for banking enough wins to get up to that 2 seed right now, and that you'll probably not finish worse than the 3 seed.
They'll be 2.
Yeah, right. They'll be two. But if you possibly get to avoid, I mean, think about what the Thunder path could be. And I've got Thunder Western Conference tickets. It could be Thunder versus, I'll say, the Clippers, because I've been building up the Clippers so much, right? It could be Clippers. It could be Warriors or Lakers before you even get to the Western Conference Finals. And I don't want, you know, I don't want to see either one of those teams right now.
I just want to leave that with this. The Warriors now, since acquiring Jimmy Butler, are 20-5 straight up. But with both Curry and Butler in the lineup, right, because those guys have taken games off, with Curry and Butler both in the lineup, do you know what the Warriors are?
I don't know. One loss?
19-2.
Two?
That's a record that should be getting the attention of everyone, including the Thunder. When Moses Moody starts, you know what the Warriors are this year? 24-4. Point that out as well. But 19-2 with Butler and Curry.
I'm still going to go back to if they're going to be a real thing, and by real I mean Western Conference Finals, NBA Finals, right? Because I think they're good enough to be there. It's Kuminga or Pajemski, like he was last night. They've got to be a consistent factor.
No question. No question about it. By the way, Luka, just has your opinion changed on a player quicker than it has on a guy like Luka? He just, first of all, he was 0-6, by the way, from behind the arc. Broke a 104, what is that? How many games in a row did he have a three? Was it 114 games in a row? I have to look that up. Don't hold me to that record, to that number. But 0-6 last night, and then that Draymond steal at the end. Okay, are we sure? Estamos seguros. Sports and sports betting edition. No intro.
No intro. I'm going to start with, I'm getting rid of my Draymond question. I'm going back to the rest of the NBA awards.
What was the Draymond question?
Are we sure Draymond Green will win Defensive Player of the Year? We kind of already discussed.
Well, no, I think it's not 100% sure, no.
I agree.
Yeah.
All right, well, last go through awards question real quick. Mark Daigneault, are we sure he's out of the Coach of the Year race?
No, because
he's 17-1, Gil. He's 17-1.
I saw 14-1 this morning. It's shortening as we speak. Six games left for the Thunder, and the one that they will have the shortest spread in is probably tonight at Houston. 6.5.
I still don't think it's a bad bet. If you wanted to get involved, because it does hit. We've said it since the beginning. You made the bet. I didn't make the bet. Drew brought it up at 200-1 a week and a half ago.
I was talking about it before, Drew, and wasn't smart enough to make the bet.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. But it just hinges on them getting to 70. If they get to 70, I think he's winning it. So if you think they can win the rest of these games, I don't think it's a bad bet. Still, if you want to get involved.
Well, all right. And let me just say this, that the way that the schedule works out, because I've always said if they clear Cleveland, right, what's the phrase I use, the fly in the ointment, is if they clear Cleveland with the last two or three games still remaining to go, do they sit players and therefore not get to 70? But here's how the schedule works out. The meaningful games, the ones where they still have not clinched home court in a potential NBA Finals, is at Houston tonight, and then it's back-to-back against the Lakers. After that, when it might not matter, quote-unquote, anymore, it's Phoenix, Utah, and New Orleans.
Yeah.
So the way that the chronology of the schedule works out, so 70 may happen no matter what, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. No, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. All right. College basketball Final Four this weekend. We're all pumped. Are we sure any of these four teams left can win the NCAA tournament?
Yeah. I mean, I think Duke will, but if you ran a simulation of this 100 times, all four are winning at some point. Sure. Any of these four can win. There's no doubt.
Are we sure Cooper Flagg should be a +110 favorite to win most outstanding player?
He should be the short shot for sure. Best player, best team. You're suggesting that it should be longer than that, that it shouldn't be +110?
Feels pretty dang short.
Yeah, I still say it's Cooper Flagg. Because if Cooper Flagg does anything, you know, equal, all things being equal, and Duke wins it all, they're not even sniffing anybody else. So it's going to be him.
Are we sure Alex Ovechkin will break Gretzky's regular season goal record this season?
Seguro que sí. We have seven games left for the Washington Capitals. Seven games left. He needs two to tie, three to break. Your question is, are we sure he's going to break?
Yeah.
By the way, they play the Blackhawks tonight, and the Blackhawks are terrible on D in terms of goal prevention. I am not 100% sure is that my answer to that, but he could do it tonight also.
Yeah.
Like he could, if he would do it with a hat trick tonight, that would be unbelievable. By the way, I don't know if you caught this, the local scuttlebutt in the DMV, Joe Beninanti and Craig Laughlin, who used to play for the Caps. Craig Laughlin, for those who are Caps historians, came over in the Rod Langway trade in the early 80s. Caps got to their first playoffs with Craig Laughlin. He does color for the Caps.
Who could forget?
This local broadcast team. And Joe, the play-by-play guy, has been their play-by-play guy since before Ovechkin even was there.
Wow.
Three of these remaining seven games, they don't have the broadcast for. They're putting him in a booth just for archival and social media purposes. But the NHL has gone all in on this Ovechkin thing. So every remaining Caps game, as long as this hasn't been broken yet, is going to either be on an ESPN channel, a Turner channel, or NHL Network. And so because of contract or whatever, three of the games won't be broadcast locally. And this, for like Caps fans, if it happens on one of those three nights, is a complete travesty. So they have to, NHL has to step in, Bettman has to step in, and just say, okay, let them have their local broadcast.
Yeah, it's always tough.
It's ridiculous.
NBA and NHL playoffs, I believe the NHL is the same way, right? You get into that same sort of thing where it's like the local guys have it up to a certain point.
These guys have called almost every one of his goals ever. You're not going to let him do these?
Yeah, it'd stop be a shame. It. All right, are we sure? Nobody in the NL West can catch the Dodgers, Gil, because I see a lot of good records in the NL West.
The Giants are 5-1 and in third.
5-1 and in third.
We're not 100% sure. No. As much as we love the Dodgers, and the Dodgers are great, we are not 100% sure. Because the Padres are really good, too.
All right, give me a percentage that the Dodgers win the NL West.
Oh, very small. Oh, that they win the NL West?
Yeah.
Oh, very, very high.
Over 98%?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Anything else? Or we're after the break.
All right, one quick one. Are we sure Aaron Rodgers will be a member of the Steelers next season? I've asked this question roughly four times, I think.
Yes, because I think you nailed it early, which is... he clearly wants to play for the Vikings, and he's like holding out any possible hope that they change their minds. Yeah, we're almost 100% sure. Now that's over 98% that he's ending up with the Steelers. We'll come back. Dallin Cuff on the Final Four next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Edge Boost is the first ever bank account built for bettors, ensuring all gambling transactions are approved, no usage fees, no minimums. Earn cashback rewards, 100% approval for all betting deposits. Sign up today at edgeboost.bet with promo code ANG.
ANG is an A numbers game, the fine show you're taking in right now.
You know, I was just about to say you've been mailing that in, but you just came through. Well done. Deposit $25 and Edge Boost will match the deposit. That's edgeboost.bet. Skill Alexander. That's Kelly Bidlin, everybody. I don't know if you ever met Kelly Bidlin before. He's shrinking before our eyes.
What I used to do is make up different things for what the ANG stands for, but
yeah,
that
that's what I mean.
That gets dangerous sometimes. Who knows what's going to come out of my mouth?
Let's see. We get tweets at Beat the Book. Joe C714. Couldn't listen to you guys all week because I was in Maine for work all week. Messed up my morning routine, and it was cold. Are we allowed to say cold A? No?
Yeah, cold AF? Yeah.
Okay, there you go. He was in Maine complaining. Maine is beautiful, by the way.
What gorgeous building am I looking at?
Have you ever been to Maine in the summertime?
Does it say armory?
What does that say? Oh, Kelly's literally walking up to look at this guy. Look at this guy. Okay, his big hand, his face getting in the camera. Oh, man, we've got a little too comfortable here. Joe C., by the way, Maine in the summertime, gorgeous.
I went to Bar Harbor once.
Bar Harbor,
one
Maine.
Of the greatest weekends of my life.
Have the lobster.
Blueberry beer, blueberry pie, lobster nonstop, and just do it all over again for like three straight days. It was amazing.
A. Brown down in Jungleland says, on behalf of all those who tail Drew on Dagnall 200-1, coach of the year, can we just stop talking about it all together? Your daily mention of the odds dropping has us dreaming when in the end, we'll all be fighting Kelly for a teddy bear at the CLV store.
That's right.
Can I get that teddy bear right there?
I'm looking for one of those snap bracelets this time around.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I got my eyes set on.
Maybe those fluffy dice I can get right there. Ladies and gentlemen, he is a part of the glue that holds this operation together. His name is Adam Burke. He is a baseball savant. You can tell me no different. The greatest baseball previews I've ever read in my life. Back at Bang the Book back in the day, he's our VSiN managing editor. He comes to us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line at Skating Tripods. A classic Twitter handle for Adam. How you doing, Adam?
I'm good. Portland, Maine. There's a bar called Mash Tun. They have a great beer list. My wife loved the bourbon sangria. It's down on Wharf Street. Really, really great spot. I loved Maine. It was awesome when we went there.
It's gorgeous.
Did you just say bourbon sangria? That sounds fantastic.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I can't.
I'm going to look into that.
He's going to look. The problem is Adam is going to look at it and look into it now while we're doing this. All right. Baseball season. What do you like today, sir?
Still working my way through the card here, but I guess I could throw you guys one that I do like. I like the first five over 4.5 in this matchup between the Nationals and the Diamondbacks. Jake Irvin is a guy that doesn't miss a whole lot of bats. The Diamondbacks are swinging it really, really well to start the season, as you would expect. I mean, last year they led the league in runs scored, and I don't think this offense got any worse. I mean, they basically just replaced Christian Walker with Josh Naylor, who's a pretty good hitter in his own right. So I think they're going to get some run scoring opportunities against Irvin. And then Brandon Pfaadt, you know, while he's really good at missing bats, the command can be kind of hit or miss. Gave up a lot of hard hit contact in his first start against the Cubs. Lefties hit him really well. He's got an issue with the platoon split. Nationals should be able to throw six lefties at him today. So I like over the first five, over 4.5 in that Diamondbacks and Nationals game.
And we were talking, you and I, about this a little bit off air. This is not an official play from you, but you are of the mind that if the Dodgers do trip up here in the month of April, for God's sakes, it's April 4th. But if they do, it is most likely the first time to trip up, let's say. It's most likely to occur this weekend at some point.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think they could lose tonight, to be honest with you. Jesus Luzardo added a sweeper this year, and it's a really, really nasty pitch. And he's got a tremendous arsenal to begin with. He's just a guy who hasn't been able to stay healthy. The one thing that's concerning is, you know, Yoshinobu Yamamoto has thrown the ball really well in his first two starts, but he is stepping up here from facing the Tigers last time out to facing the Phillies this time out. Also, long way from home, first road trip in the U.S. Of course, they played a couple of games in Tokyo to start the year. I think that the Phillies here, you know, are a decent look for tonight. I was kind of hoping to get a little bit more on the price. But it is one that I may add to my card here throughout the day. But I understand why this line has moved toward Philadelphia. I mean, and also, look, this may very well be an NLCS preview in this weekend series.
Yeah. Joe Pita's picks are coming up, by the way, after a 2-day hiatus on the show. Joe Pita's picks are coming up. And he points out, though, that the Freeman loss, right, Freeman being out of the lineup against the lefty tonight, not as big of a deal for the Dodgers as it might be against Nola and Sanchez, two righties this weekend as well. So that's a point we should probably make about the Dodgers-Philly series. Dodgers 8-0, two away from being the betting casher in the race to 10, with a 2-0 head start, remember, earlier before the rest of the league began. To the final four, sir, your plays in either game are what?
Well, I got to say one thing real quickly on today's MLB card. If you're looking through the card and you see Luis Castillo's name next to the Mariners, that is not the Luis Castillo. That is Luis F. Castillo. That is not the guy who's been a 8-year major league vet now. Different guy, same name. So if you're out there looking at the Mariners and you see them as a big underdog today against the Giants and Justin Verlander, just keep in mind that's not the right Luis Castillo, because that's something that I think could definitely trip people up here today, seeing that big of a dog price against the Giants. So I just wanted to throw that out there.
That is excellent.
For everybody.
Excellent
PSA.
Actionable or unactionable, whichever way you choose to play it. Betting information. That's good. That, by the way, big cruel joke by the Mariners to do that.
Yes. Yeah. And a pitching change actually too. Bryce Miller was supposed to go today, so they're sending out, like I said, the other Luis Castillo. As far as the final four goes, I mean, look, you know, the Auburn-Florida game is a little bit perplexing because statistically these two teams are remarkably similar, right? They're only separated by 0.4% in three-point percentage, about 0.5% in two-point percentage. They're both top 10 teams in effective field goal percentage defense. They have identical three-point percentages against. Statistically, they line up very, very similarly. The difference is Florida is playing at a really high level, and Auburn hasn't really been playing at the same level here of late. So I do think that Florida absolutely deserves to be favored in this game. I don't know what you're going to get out of Bruce Pearl's team. I have a pretty good idea of what I'm going to get out of Todd Golden's team. I mean, I think because of how similar these two teams are, and even their shot selection is pretty similar too, I kind of lean slightly towards Auburn getting points just because I think this is a super close game. But to me, this is one where you take the Auburn money line and you don't even worry about the 2.5 if that's the side you want to go with, because I think Auburn wins the game or the spread doesn't come into play at all.
What about game two?
So in game two, I mean, maybe this is a little bit square. Maybe this is a little bit, you know, kind of basic thinking. But I mean, I like Duke. I mean, you know, Houston is a team that really the only thing they can do on offense is shoot the three. And if they don't shoot the three well in this big venue like the Alamo Dome, they're going to get they have the chance to get run off the floor in this game because Duke is so good offensively in so many different areas. and they're almost as good defensively as Houston is. So I just, you know, the Cougars, when they face elite competition, because they have no semblance of a half court offense for the most part, they really, really struggle. And I think Duke has the opportunity to really exploit that here. Duke has tremendous size. Obviously, they can get to the basket. They can shoot it from deep. Houston can only shoot it from deep. And if they don't do that, they're going to struggle. So I think Duke is the side there, despite the fact that you're laying five in a game where statistically there's not a whole lot of gap between the two teams.
So last segment, I asked Dallin Cuff from ESPN to give me the coach that he trusts the most of the remaining four coaches, Golden, Pearl, Shire, and Sampson. Who's the one that he trusts the most to make a, and I didn't say it this way, but a plus EV decision, basically, that will be just enough of an edge, to give his team just enough of an edge to perhaps put them over the top. He came up with Kelvin Sampson. He did concede Golden might have the most analytical viewpoint, but he went with Sampson. I didn't want to get him in trouble because he often has to interact with these coaches. You, I don't have the same burden here. Tell me the coach of the four that you trust the least, that in a crunch time situation, you're like, oh, no, not this dude.
I mean, the least, it has to be Bruce Pearl, right? I mean, you know, he's had some great teams in the past that he really hasn't been able to get over the hump. And, you know, I mean, I also think that, you know, with Auburn, you know, with a guy that, you know, could be a little bit of a loose cannon in Baker Mazzara, like, does he do something stupid in this game at some point? Can Florida bait him into something? You know, will Pearl have the wherewithal to, you know, kind of calm him down, keep him sort of squared away in this game? I don't know. But Pearl is a guy that I think of the four that are left here, I would trust the least.
All right, Adam, the Cleveland Guardians tied for first in the AL Central at 2-4. I mean,
yeah,
that's the way to spin it, I guess, at this point. Any remarks you want to make? We're obviously oppo on this. We'll be tracking it all year. But any takeaways from six games?
Well, I got a takeaway. Petco Park is gorgeous. I went there on Wednesday. Nice. It was my wife's birthday. There was a day game, so quick 28-hour trip to San Diego. And, you know, I mean, the park was fantastic. The game wasn't, but the park was great. And, you know, really, really cool atmosphere, a lot of craft beer. That was great. But the only other thing that I could really mention is watching Kyle Manzardo at first base. It's like watching a baby giraffe try to walk. He is really bad over there. So that's something that could kind of inhibit them, you know, when David Fry is able to come back. But honestly, the bottom of the order is terrible. I mean, they have no depth in that lineup whatsoever. And that's something that they're going to have to address as the season goes along.
Right. I thought they were getting a defensive upgrade at first without Naylor, but we shall see as the season progresses. Thank you, Adam. Appreciate it, man.
Have a good one, guys.
You too, Adam Burke at Skating Tripods, VSiN Managing Editor. Always love having him on the show. Dr. Bob, we hope, on the other side. Final Four next on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM channel 158.
Yeah.
It's Gil Alexander. That's Kelly Bidlin, everybody.
Hey.
Hey. Chris Felica coming up. Steve Fezzik coming up. It's our favorite hour. I don't know. Crack is a favorite hour, too. It's hard to choose between these 2 hours. It's hard to choose. And any hour that features Kelly Bidlin as well.
Oh, thanks, man.
All those hours.
What a guy.
Well, because I was saying nice that, guy. Then I was thinking to myself, I was like, that's not very nice. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Bruce Dobigan. Montrealers all used to go to Wells Beach in Maine for the shuffleboard and saltwater taffy. I left my fillings there, he said. Thanks, Bruce. A little TMI, but okay.
What year is this?
I don't know. Michael Burns. Booth Bay Harbor, Maine. Lobster at the dock on the picnic table. Unreal.
Boom,
yes.
Boom. Does anything get better, too, than Maine? A lobster roll in Maine, right on the side of the road by the water.
Nothing. PAW is a little upset with the Maine talk. He says, show's becoming too bougie. He's like, hope it returns to form. Long summer coming.
But I was talking about polo the other day. Yes, so it could be worse.
You were totally talking about polo. I don't know what's PAW, I'm with you. I don't know what's happening. It's a loose thing. I can't rate it back in. Chris Felica, he's bougie. Ladies and gentlemen, comes to us from his castle in Connecticut. You know him as the Bear. He runs the Bear Pod Empire over there at Fox Sports. You can follow him on Twitter at Chris Felica, FALLICA. to give us horse racing picks, soccer picks, college basketball picks, and then the good stuff, NFL draft. How you doing, man?
I'm good. Now you have me dreaming about heading down to Clinton, Connecticut for the to the lobster landing for a good lobster roll.
Man, I don't even know what that is, but it sounds fancy.
Sounds great.
It's not as bougie as Maine, but a little red shack right on the coast in Clinton, Connecticut.
I love that comment. Show's becoming too bougie. The Maine talk.
We get JVT back on to crush us all.
Polo over here.
Exactly.
All right, let's start with the Felica brand staples. Let's start with horse racing. What do you have?
Yeah, we unfortunately last week Cornucopian did not get home, so our great numbers that we have that Caesars William Hill wouldn't let you bet that they would have won those bets on. They 45-1 or even faster than that didn't get there. So we'll see. Maybe he'll get to the Preakness and win that. But tomorrow, the things can bet on the Gazelle, the big card at Aqueduct and the Wood Memorials tomorrow, and the Gazelle Stakes is tomorrow, which is a 3-year-old filly race, and that's the race I have a bet in. I bet the number four, or I like the number four horse early on. Sappy Joseph's horse, who is the second time out against winners in this race, 6-1 morning line. I think this horse was much the best at Colonial last race out. And I think if you look at the favorite, Ballerina D'Oro, who's even money for Chad Brown, that horse is kind of pace dependent. And it doesn't look like there's a ton of pace in here. So I think early on, the number four horse gets the jump on Ballerina D'Oro and pulls the minor upset.
Okay, my response to "we're too bougie" is, what are your horse racing picks?
Right. Exactly.
How about soccer? You got Everton in a double chance here with Arsenal?
Yeah, I do. I mean, Everton is a team that's lost once in their last 10 Premier League matches. Obviously, lost 1-0 to my squad, Liverpool, the other day in a good match. They played much better since Moyes has come over. Arsenal's not a team that's going to be scoring a lot of goals. Everton tends to defend very well. It feels like this could be a 1-1, a nil-nil, and maybe even Everton pull out a 1-0 type win. It's just going to depend on how they bounce back from the Merseyside Derby the other day. Everton probably out of obviously Everton staying up. Arsenal really no real chance for the Prem title, but a win would put a little bit of pressure. But I think Everton at home. -105 with a double chance is the way to go.
Okay, and I'm sure you heard it. You and Dr. Bob are simpatico. You like the Houston Cougars plus the points as well against Duke.
Yeah, I was listening to Dr. Bob, and I can't believe you're taking him away from the Dad of the Year award. That's very, even though he didn't sound too broken up about not having to take his kids to school. But yeah, I like Houston in this game. I think the line is a little bit disrespectful, and Dr. Bob hit on it too, just the way that Duke blew at Alabama. And we knew, everyone knew Alabama was going to shoot like one of a million from three-point range after they lit it up against BYU. That yeah. was the easiest thing to see coming in the world. But if you kind of hit on it, too. Like, you look at the ACC and you look at the Big 12, the ACC was down bad this year. Yeah, they ran through it. Big 12 was a much better conference. Houston ran through that. It got 7 wins against top 15 KenPom teams this year. Duke's got 4. And if you look at, like, the comparative ratings and you take a look at, like, KenPom, take a look at Dvorak, you take a look at, like, Haslam, the ratings got this game at a pick. I think the way that game went last year in the Sweet 16, I know it's a completely different Duke team, but Houston was up 6 when Shedd got hurt in that game. They're probably going to win and probably going to go to the Final Four last year. A lot of those players from Houston are back. They scored 35 points in 27 minutes after Shedd got hurt. I think there's a little bit of we have another opportunity to advance the national championship game with the win over Duke. I like Houston plus the 5.5 here.
And how are you betting the other game?
I'm betting it Florida team total over 81.5. I'll believe it when I see it with Jani Broom being healthy. It did not look good. Even when he came back in the game, he grabbed the rebound with the left arm, one-handed, flung it down. Hit the 3. We'll see. So I bet over 81.5 Florida team total because I think, obviously, if he's gone on the defensive end, that will really help Florida get the second chance opportunities. And I think if you can find an under 29.5, I know exists here, Broom combined points and rebounds, that might be something to look at as well.
Okay. Let's go to Major League Baseball. And, of course, as famously as the Dodgers out to an 8-0 start and the Padres out to a 7-0 start, you have the Atlanta Braves who are out to the old 0-7 start. Didn't see that coming necessarily. You have a bet.
No. Yeah, I know they're going to get Spencer Strider and Ronald Acuña Jr. back, but 0-7, and it's 162 games, sure, but they made the playoffs last year with 89 wins, and we had that great number on them to miss the playoff last year, and they just got in. So now you're already spotting the Dodgers and Padres, two teams that you're going to be obviously competing with one of them for a wild card spot. You're spotting them seven wins. Like that is – you got to go, what, 89 and 55, whatever it is now, the rest of the way to get to 89. And the Giants obviously look better with the new manager. Arizona will be better over the course of the season. You've got the Mets and the Phillies in the division as well that you're in. Like, plus 180 to miss the playoffs on the Braves, I think we'll see what happens now. I mean, they got a series in Chicago coming up with Cubs. They drop another couple of games here. I think you're going to see that number drop even more.
And the always fun worst record market. Yeah. You have made a bet there as well.
Yeah, I bet the Rockies plus 150 to have the worst record. The rotation is not good. At some point, they're going to be bringing up a bunch of prospects like Zach Veen. Once they can control the contract time a little bit more, the White Sox might just be okay this year. They may not be like 49 wins bad, but I think if you get the Rockies a plus 150, like I said, in a division with the Dodgers, Padres, Giants, and Diamondbacks, like there aren't very many wins to come by in that division. Kind of feels a little bit like the White Sox were last year in the Central with the Tigers and the Twins and the Guardians as well.
Okay, I saved the good stuff for last, the best stuff for last.
Yeah.
Because there's something about the NFL draft, when we start talking about it, it just moves everything else to the side. Some position market bets you have made, starting with Jackson Dart. Of course, quarterback out of Ole Miss, largely considered to be the third quarterback to go, but who knows in the end. 24.5 is his number draft position. You went which way?
I went under. I think... Again, will he be the second quarterback off the board? Who knows, depending on what mock and what you believe about Shedeur Sanders. But wouldn't the Pittsburgh Steelers be a very logical spot, I think, at 21? Even if they sign Aaron Rodgers, you need a quarterback moving forward. Maybe Jackson Dart falls there. But I think he's the guy where there's a lot of buzz around him right now. So I did go under 24.5, and I saw some pretty – short numbers like a plus 350 or a plus 400 on him being the second quarterback taken, which I wouldn't play that just because it seems like that's not fair. But I do think he is a selection in the top 24 picks.
This one definitely caught our eye because there's a lot of mocks that have the Raiders going Ashton Jeanty, but his draft position is 9.5 and you go over here.
I did go over just because the Raiders have a ton of needs. And I know Pete Carroll's an old school guy who likes to run the ball and a running back. But if you're the Raiders and you have all of these needs, you can take a Jalen Walker from Georgia and an offensive lineman. Maybe you don't got to take a tight end because you got Brock Bowers, but they have so many needs. Wouldn't you rather take either an offensive lineman or a pass rusher? And then at the top of the second round, this is a deep running back draft, whether it's Trevion Henderson, someone who Chip Kelly is familiar with from Ohio State, Caleb Johnson from Iowa, Dylan Sampson is there. It feels like the bang for your buck, taking an impact player at a position other than running back at six, and then taking the running back with the fifth pick of the second round, that seems like the way to go for me. I mean, and it allows you still to potentially have Jeanty go to the Bears at 10, which I still wouldn't do either.
Yeah, Raiders at six, by the way, just to clarify. And if it were anybody but Pete Carroll, this would seem obvious, but who knows? Who knows what he's thinking?
I'm betting that. I'm telling
like
Chris.
The over.
When Chris Felipe comes
plus
on,
money on that, I got plus 140 on over 9.5.
So I
think that's a good bet.
I agree with the Raiders. Got too much else to do. They shouldn't be worried about running back. And if Chris Felica's telling me that, who's watched way more Ashton Jeanty than I have.
Yeah, no, I agree with all that. Along. Y'all just got to convince Pete Carroll of that.
great running back, but I don't think the drop-off is that far to the guys we were talking about who they could get a top round to.
Makes sense. Lastly, Colston Loveland, tight end out of Michigan, 19.5.
Under. I went under on this. I mean, the Colts are mocked basically in every draft to take a tight end, whether it be him or Tyler Warren. We saw the impact that Brock Bowers had on an offense last year. You got Anthony Richardson in a quarterback situation where you need an offensive player, security blanket, under 19.5 for me on Loveland.
Spectacular segment, Christopher. Thank you as always.
Thank you, sir.
The Bear, El Oso. right here. Fezzik next on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.